its consequences have been a disaster for the human race.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo.
But I just can't do it. You're an e-girl. You know the rule. No e-girls. Who's got the clip? No e-girls. Never. Hashtag never e-girl.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo. It's going to be only America first. America first. The American people will come first. Once again. With respect, the respect that we deserve. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first.
Unreal. Okay, am I back?
No!
Damn it! I hate when that happens! Dude, Friday the 13th. Of course! Of course! I swear to you. In the back of my head, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Hello? Can you ranch me now? I swear. Okay, do I have audio now, though? Okay. I swear, in the back of my head, I was thinking to myself, oh, it's Friday the 13th. Nothing went wrong. I swear. I saw a black cat today. It's Friday the 13th. And I swear, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, huh, we did okay. I didn't get murdered. You know, nothing crazy happened. Friday the 13th, I survived without any issues. And it's midnight. I mean, just at midnight. And then my audio is muted for the first freaking 10 minutes of the show. People are texting me. Well, I guess it was only a few minutes, but people are texting me. I could see out of the corner of my eye, my phone was blowing up. I'm like, why is everybody texting me? Stop texting me. And then I glanced over. Pain. It's pain. But I told you, I saw that black cat. I'm not superstitious, but I was like, damn, something bad's going to happen to me. Well, if it was just that, I guess I'm okay. But, you know, knock on wood. But, fucking idiot! Damn it! Whatever. All right, well, I'll just start over from the top. And I'll just start it all over again. Why? And I guess my mic got unplugged or something. I was fucking with something over there, so I think I unplugged my mic. Okay. That sucks. Well, let's rewind it. You know what? Let's just cut that part out. I'm going to replay the intro. I'll come back. We'll do it fresh, okay? We'll cut that part out. That part never happened, okay? The weekend, though. Thank God it's the weekend, right? Because, man, I mean, I couldn't come back and do it another night after that. It's one of those days, you know? All right. From the top.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo. It's going to be only America first. America first. The American people will come first once again.
Good evening, everybody. You're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We have a great show for you tonight. Very excited to be back here with you tonight on Friday. We have a lot to talk about tonight, lots to get into. Big show, lots to discuss tonight. It is day 7 of the Gaza War. I think it's been just about 1 week since all this started. And we may be seeing the biggest development yet in the coming hours, although we're not exactly sure. Tonight we'll be discussing the latest news, which is that the ground offensive, which has been looming all week, is about to happen imminently. And it was actually supposed to have started already, because yesterday the Israeli government gave a 24-hour evacuation notice to North Gaza, and it's been about 25 or 26 hours. So it's apparently been delayed, but it looks like regardless it'll be happening soon. Is there... Okay, my mom just texted me there's no sound. Are you trolling me? Or can you hear me? Is it... Can you hear me or no? Okay, can someone who... Seriously? Dude, my mom texted me, you're muted. I'm not muted! That's crazy. That's crazy. The disloyalty. That's unreal. No way! So you can hear me. Why is it she says no sound? Unbelievable. What is she watching the replay? How's that even possible? What is she just behind? Maybe she started it like 10 minutes ago. That's crazy. She's trolling me. My mom's texting me. Muted, no sound. What the? Unreal. But you can hear me, right? Okay. Anyway, all right. So she's on the delay. She hasn't gotten to that part yet. All right, I'm just turning on, well, I can't turn on Do Not Disturb, but that's crazy. All right, anyway, why can't we get it right tonight? It's cursed. We should have never did a show tonight. It's Friday the 13th. It is too cursed to do political commentary. This is not good. It's a Halloween surprise. This is our Halloween special. The curse. This is the Friday the 13th curse episode. Curse of the Jews. They cursed me! No wonder. And it only makes common sense. The Jews cursed me, and on Friday the 13th, it went into effect. All right, but you can hear me. So anyway, Mom, we're going to dive in. Like I said, we'll be talking about this. And now I'm totally thrown off. I'm totally rattled. I'm totally off. So we'll be talking about the ground offensive, which, again, was supposed to be happening now, but apparently got delayed because Israel wanted to kill all the civilians, but now America is trying to get them to not kill as many, so they've delayed it. We don't know precisely when it'll start, but presumably it'll start very soon. We'll be talking also about the Day of Rage today. They've been fear-mongering all week about Hamas terrorism in the United States, which is ridiculous because there's never been any such thing. And there's really never been any Hezbollah terrorism either, with the exception of what happened in Beirut 40 years ago and the attack on the ambassador, which was foiled anyway. But that doesn't ever stop the Zionists from saying that Hamas and Hezbollah are America's enemies. I mean, they're really not. So we'll talk about that as well as the response to the protests. Surprisingly, in some countries, they have banned people from supporting Palestine. In the United Kingdom, they're talking about deporting anybody that praises Hamas. In France, they have banned pro-Palestine demonstrations, which is pretty unbelievable. Leave it to the West that the only time they have a problem with Muslims taking over their country is when they start criticizing Israel, right? Europe has been invaded by Muslims completely. But the only time that their governments have anything bad to say about it is when they start being anti-Israel. Then they're going to deport them the next day. You want to do rape gangs and knife attacks, that's fine. But criticize Israel, you're going back. Amazing. So we'll talk about that too, and should be a pretty good show. I'll just give you all the latest updates, including, and the last thing I want to talk about tonight is a peculiar remark by the Secretary of State, Anthony Blinken. I think it's Antony, actually, not Anthony. But have you seen this? Our American Secretary of State goes over there to Israel and says, I come before you not just as the American Secretary of State, but as a Jew. Really? How inappropriate is that? I mean, how could anyone expect America to be impartial or to have any degree of sovereignty if we send our foreign, that's our foreign minister. That's like our, that's the equivalent of our foreign minister. And he goes to another country and says, hey, don't worry, guys, I'm one of you. I'm on your side. What? Shouldn't we have a Secretary of State that's on our side, that's an American? He goes, oh, my ancestors were, what did he say, in the Pale of Settlement or some such nonsense, Holocaust survivors. Shouldn't we have a Secretary of State that's ancestors were on the Mayflower? And you know me, I'm Mexican, and Italian and Irish. My ancestors came here 100 years ago. And I would still say, yeah, no, we need a Secretary of State that's maybe had roots here since before the Civil War, at least. Because I think that's only appropriate. But anyway, so we'll talk about that too. It's just outrageous. We'll get into it. Before we do, I want to remind you to smash the follow button here on Cozy to get a push notification whenever I go live. Also, follow me on Rumble. All my replays are available on Rumble as well. So make sure you're following me on both. People have been loving my coverage of the Gaza war because I feel like I'm the only one or one of the only ones that's really giving the America First perspective. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of people talking about this stuff, like Elijah and Keith and Harrison Smith and Lucas and everybody. But I feel like there's not a lot of live stream shows where people are with the same level of explicitness and directness talking about this problem. And I admonished, I don't know if you follow me on Twitter, but I admonished James Kirkpatrick today because I talked about him a little bit last night and I admonished him on the timeline. And I'm like, hey, man, why aren't you talking about Israel? And I go through his Twitter and he's only even said the word Israel like 5 times. There's this major war happening, I don't know if you've heard, for the past week. And the guy's on Twitter all day and he barely talks about Israel. How? And then I look and see how many times he's talked about Zionism, 0. And so even among a lot of these right-wing guys, they're barely talking about what's going on here. And if they are, it's this cheap innuendo where they sort of, they say this stupid shit like, well, let's check in on Ben Shapiro. And it's like, just shut up. Let's check in. Oh, he seems mad. Like, yeah, you know, Jews run America, okay? Can we just talk about it? Let's just talk about it. We don't need to be snarky and come up with these quips. Let's just come right out with it and say, look, the Zionists run America. We have become their tool. We've become their instrument. And, like, that's a big problem. So, anyway, so make sure you follow me on Rumble to stick with my coverage. I'll be back here probably tomorrow. I mean, if this invasion pops off tomorrow or Sunday, I'll be streaming it. I'm going to stream the war, you know, because this is I cannot overstate how big of a deal this is. And I said it earlier this week that this is really like chapter 2 in a much bigger story. It's a diplomatic revolution which is happening. These old systems and coalitions and the old way of the world, the way that it's been for decades, is rapidly changing in the last, like, 2 years. And I've said recently that, quite honestly, I think it started with the withdrawal from Afghanistan. And, you know, I never said that before. And I was supportive of the move. I thought that a lot of the criticism of that was
basically coming from neocons that never wanted to see us leave. But as time goes on, I feel like there might be something to that. But if not that, it was certainly the invasion in Ukraine. And I talked about that for a long time. And I told you what a big deal that was, the way that that was. That was maybe the beginning of the end of the unipolar moment. Or better yet, it was the end of the end. The beginning of the end was perhaps 2014, but this is really the end of the end. This is this world historical inflection point. And Israel-Palestine is downstream from that. And there's a chance, there's a very significant chance that this conflict will spread. This is truly, this, like I said, this is a second part of an unraveling global conflict. So we can really only understand this. Of course, Israel and Palestine goes back a long time. And the Arabs and the Persians versus Israel also goes back a long time. But that this has become a flashpoint, that this has become a crisis, it's part of an unfolding global conflict. And this is not the beginning of it, and it's not the end of it. So that's really the big story. And this is a story that we're going to watch in our lives play out over the next 10 years. There will be fear. There will be anxiety and uncertainty. And what we're seeing now is, like I said, the beginning of a sprawling international conflict that we will be talking about for this decade, for the 2020s. And it could potentially lead and go up into a great power conflict between the United States and China. That's really, all eyes are really on that and watching how that's going to develop. So anyway, so this is really important stuff. I'll probably be back here tomorrow if the invasion starts. If not, maybe I won't. But I'll be covering it all next week too. So stick with it and make sure you're following me on everything, because this is big stuff. So anyway, we're going to dive right into it. I guess we'll jump in. And last night we talked about, it was breaking news, Israel had announced a 24-hour evacuation notice for North Gaza. And for reference, just to give you a little context here, a little background in case you missed the last few shows, the Gaza Strip is a very, very small area. It's 5 miles across, 26 miles long, which we can imagine very easily. A lot of times when you talk about the size of a country, it's hard to imagine the scale, but it's about as long as a marathon, and it's about 5 miles wide. So these are very understandable measurements. It's a very tiny area, and there's 2 million people living there. 2 million in one of the most densely populated areas in the world. Very small territory, but obviously lots of people. And they're almost all kids. It's 40% of the population is under the age of 16. And there's a significant percentage that's between the age of 16 and 21. It's a very, very young population as well. This is important information. And so yesterday, the state of Israel gave a 24-hour evacuation notice to North Gaza, which is the entire northern half. So that's 5 by 13 miles. That's a very small territory, but home to 1.1 million people. And Israel told them all that they have 24 hours to evacuate. And we talked in great detail about it last night, but just so you understand, this past week, Israel has introduced a total blockade of the entire Gaza Strip. They're not letting in any food, water, electricity, fuel. So these people have been besieged with a total blockade. They've been bombed throughout the week. So 400,000 people have been made homeless. Close to 2,000 have been killed. Close to 7,000 have been injured. So in the midst of this just disaster, this catastrophic situation where they have no resources, they have no electricity, no fuel, they cannot leave, nobody can enter. Large parts of the territory have been bombed to smithereens, as has the infrastructure. People have been displaced. In the middle of all this chaos, they're telling 1.1 million people, hey, get out of here in 24 hours before we kill all of you. And I said last night that this should shock the conscience of any moral person. Any reasonable person would say this is disturbing and it's wrong. Because their intention clearly is to kill significant numbers of civilians. They're not giving them an opportunity to leave. They closed all the exits. They've bombed them and displaced them. They have cut off all their resources. And then they tell them, then they impose this impossible deadline and say, hey, 24 hours for 1 million people to flee, which would be impossible under normal circumstances. But in this situation, it's like you're insulting our intelligence. There's no chance that 1.1 million people could be evacuated in such a small territory, in such a small amount of time, in a situation like this, and they can't even go anywhere. There's nowhere even for them to go. So that's what we learned yesterday, and probably that evacuation notice was that is going to foreshadow a major ground offensive. Israel's called up 360,000 reserve troops, and they're going to move in and invade, presumably. And the whole idea of giving them the notice is because they're going to go in and kill a lot of people. They're going to go in and inflict as many casualties as they can. So this is the situation. We stand on the brink of this. And as I said yesterday, and we're going to get into some newer things as well, but I just want to reiterate, this is a genocide. Make no mistake about it. All you have to do is look at a map to understand what they're attempting to do here. They're going to move into North Gaza in the next 24 to 72 hours. And all the Palestinians that remain there will be killed, taken prisoner, or they will have evacuated to the south. And what do you think they're going to do? What do you think the state of Israel will do once they've killed everybody in North Gaza and they've secured that territory? They're going to kill everybody in South Gaza, and they're going to take the territory in South Gaza as well. And the whole point, it seems, of this operation is ethnic cleansing, is to drive these people from their home and from their territory into the Sinai Peninsula, which belongs to Egypt. That's why I said you have to look at a map. They're going to take the north, push everybody there into the south, kill everybody that doesn't leave, and then they're going to, of course, and it seems almost inevitable, then move into the south, and push everybody out into Sinai or as refugees into other countries. And this is their final solution. This is their final solution to one part of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which is ethnic cleansing. That is what we're about to watch. And I said this last night, and it got picked up by Right Wing Watch, because I want to clarify, this is an important point. There's two ways of looking at this. And the first way to look at it is as a strategic thinker and from a strategic point of view. And the strategic point of view will look at the situation in a sense with indifference and say that we as Americans have to make a decision that is in our best interest as a nation. We have to analyze the situation in a cold and calculating way, with the standard being, what is the sober and rational American self-interest here? Because as bad as the situation is, there are bad situations everywhere. And, of course, America is a country that is in a crisis as well. It's not in as dire of a crisis necessarily as Gaza, but it is in a crisis. And as a nation, we do have to look out for our own people and our own well-being. And so that is why we have to analyze how this affects the American interest in the Middle East. And the language of that, the vocabulary, is interest. What is good for the United States? What is good for our security? What is good for our economy? What is good for our foreign relations? And from that perspective, we could talk about that all day, about what the American interest is. And I've said it on the show, the number one American interest is that this does not escalate into a war with Iran. And in order for us not to be drawn into a war with Iran, it is necessary that Hezbollah and other militant Islam groups, Islamist or Islamic groups in the Middle East, do not get involved. And for that not to happen, then Israel has to show restraint. The more severe their retaliation is, the higher the likelihood that Hezbollah or other groups get involved. And if those groups get involved, it's more likely that Iran gets involved. If Iran gets involved, we get involved. So in terms of naked self-interest, again, the vocabulary is sober, rational interest. It is in our best interest as Americans to say that Israel should show restraint. Because, as I said, the more severe it is, the worse it is for us, the worse it is for Americans. For one second, let's not speak in terms of the partisans in the conflict on the ground. Let's talk about us over here. It's actually in our interest that it doesn't get too bad over there. Now, that's one perspective. The other perspective, which is connected but also distinct and different, is the moral lens. And we could say, on the one hand, that Israel should show restraint for no reason other than our own self-interest. On the other hand, we can say, objectively, looking at the situation, that what Israel is about to do is wrong. What they're going to do is evil. Ethnic cleansing and genocide is evil. Israel has sovereignty, and so that means they have some right to conduct their own operations within their own borders. And again, we as a state have to consider how to interact with Israel on the basis of interest. But as human beings and as Christians, we can also look at this and say, this is evil. And what is happening here is a horrible atrocity. These people don't deserve to be killed. And what Israel is doing is by definition, evil. They're killing intentionally and deliberately innocent civilians. That's their goal. That's their mission. They're making no effort to mitigate any kind of civilian casualties or collateral damage. And as I said last night, what that represents is a form of collective punishment. And it's part of a long history of collective punishment. That's how they operate. It's been collective punishment for 16 years in Gaza. It's been collective punishment for longer than that in the broader region. And what that means is that they are holding innocent people responsible for the actions of the political leadership. They see children or women or non-combatant civilians and men as bearing some responsibility because they live there, or because they have some level of complicity. So Israel's going to kill them. And that's just a violation of the Ten Commandments. I mean, that's just the oldest rule in the book. They're just killing people for no reason. They're not killing people as an act of self-defense, because in case you haven't noticed, all those fighters have got pushed back into Palestine. So they're not in Israel anymore. They're not killing anybody anymore. So it's not an act of self-defense. It's an act of revenge. And it's not a military operation. They're not, in a surgical or precise way, killing militants. They're indiscriminately bombing schools and mosques and hospitals and residential buildings. And in the ensuing conflict, which is going to be rapid and brutal and disproportionate, they're going to deliberately kill many, many civilians. So it's not self-defense. This is not a strategic or military mission. This is an act of revenge. And part of the goal of this military operation is to kill civilians, not just the leadership, because the point of it is to instill fear and submission in the population. Rather than work out a deal, rather than negotiate, they're going to kill them. And you know what? From my point of view, the Israelis owe it to the Palestinians to be magnanimous, because you know what? It was their land. 120 years ago, there were hardly any Jews in Palestine. It was 3 to 5% Jewish. And the vast majority, like 90, 85%, was Arab, Muslim, Palestinian. And the Israelis undertook a deliberate campaign to displace the local population. They used terrorist tactics under leaders like Jabotinsky and others. They attacked civilians. They blew up civilian infrastructure. They attacked the British, Americans, Arabs. And then in 1948, on the fateful day of the Nakba, they drove Palestinians from their land and massacred them. And all these groups descend from those refugees. The Palestinians in Gaza Strip, 70% of them descend from refugees that were displaced during the Nakba. Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah, Hamas, all these groups have been created out of the generational suffering from the original Palestinians who were displaced. The fact of the matter is, today, Israel isn't going anywhere. It is now a Jewish state. The Jews outnumber the Palestinians there. They outnumber the Arab Muslim Palestinians. And so there is, in some sense, it necessitates coexistence. Neither situation is going to be undone. The Israelis are there. They're not going anywhere. The Palestinians have been displaced. They're stuck where they are. But because Israel initiated this, and because they, again, inflicted this generational suffering, they owe it to the Palestinians to negotiate. They can't go and drive these people from their territory and massacre them and kill them and take all their land and colonize their land. And then when those people get mad, then Israel's going to go and kill all of them. I mean, that's just not right. And we could say that from the point of view of from a moral point of view, from the point of view of conscience and as Christians. And in some sense, that's not necessarily connected with the foreign policy outlook. I think that we should have an American foreign policy that's based on interest, not necessarily based on morality all the time. Because morality is a little bit different when it comes to the affairs of nations. We all understand there's a difference in scale. By the same token, we are people, and, you know, we can look at it in a different way and say that it's wrong. So anyway, that's that. But I want to get into some of these other developments. So it turns out, though, the invasion has been delayed, and this is because the whole world has been horrified by what Israel plans to do. They've called on them to delay. And this is a story from the New York Times. It says, quote, Israel called for the evacuation of more than a million citizens from the North Gaza Strip and concentrated more armed forces around the enclave on Friday, signaling that it may be preparing to escalate the war with Hamas. The United Nations and international aid and rights groups called Israel's directive unworkable or unlawful and urged it to rescind the evacuation. A UN spokesman said in a statement that the evacuation could not be conducted without devastating humanitarian consequences and could transform what is already a tragedy into a calamitous situation. The Israeli military did not back away from the evacuation plan, but softened its stance, suggesting there was no deadline after initially saying that people should leave within 24 hours. The Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari, the chief military spokesman, said, quote, we understand it will take time. So the good news is it's not going to happen right now, and we don't necessarily know when it's going to happen, but they're giving them a little bit more time to evacuate. And in the meantime, other foreign countries have arranged for humanitarian aid to go into Palestine through Egypt. For example, Turkey is sending humanitarian aid. At the same time, though, Palestinians that have tried to leave have been attacked. In the last day, Israel has bombed Palestinian convoys where they're trying to leave. So they've closed all the checkpoints in Israel. They have bombed the checkpoint in Egypt. And internally within Palestine, they bombed a convoy of people and killed almost 100 people that were trying to flee. So they can say whatever they want, but the situation is what it is. They are intending to kill many Palestinians. They won't let them leave. And when they try to, they get bombed. So it's pretty black and white here. And, you know, these Israelis, they always talk about the IDF is the most moral army. And they undertake great pains to make sure that they avoid civilian casualties. But they're not. They're not. They're killing people that are trying to leave. So that's the opposite of that. Now, here's the problem. So, of course, it's going to be a horrible humanitarian disaster. It looks like that's what it's going to be, really, no matter what. The problem is this. It seems that Israel's flagrant abuses of the laws of war, international law, is uniting the Arab and Muslim world against them. And like we talked about on Wednesday, Saudi Arabia and Iran are warming more than they have in a decade. They had a phone call on Wednesday where they discussed the matter. Qatar, which is an ally of Iran and typically an opponent of Saudi Arabia and Israel, says they're going to cut off natural gas exports to other countries, which is critical because, of course, Russia cannot put natural gas into Europe. Europe's been importing liquefied natural gas. Qatar has been supplying more of that in the last year and a half. Qatar is saying that if the bombing doesn't stop, they're going to cut off the natural gas. Hezbollah is amassing on Israel's northern border and saying that they stand ready to join the struggle with Hamas against Israel. Iran has said that they might get involved, and their foreign minister has been making the rounds in Syria, in Lebanon, in Iraq. Shiite militias within Iraq are mobilizing. And so we talked about this earlier in the week. There is a real concern that this conflict is going to spread across the entire region. It's not going to be just a localized conflict between Israel and Hamas, which wouldn't necessarily be a big deal. It's a horrible situation, but in geopolitical terms, it wouldn't be the war to end all wars, because Hamas is not a very large army. It's not sophisticated. They're not well-armed. And so really, regardless of what happens, it's not geostrategically significant. But what we've been saying all week is that the real danger here is that other elements inside the region will get involved. And of course, the Palestinian struggle is one that, although it's not strategically important, it is politically important because it resonates with all Muslims in the Muslim world. It resonates with Iranians. It resonates with Saudis, Syrians, Lebanese, Egyptians. And so for the last 50 years, Israel has been trying to neutralize this Arab-Muslim coalition that seems to always be united against them through peace agreements or regime change or civil wars, American intervention. But if they go in hard against the Palestinians, it may recreate those conditions from 50 years ago, where suddenly they find that Egypt, Jordan, Syria, Iran, Lebanon, Iraq, and Saudi Arabia, even Turkey, are all aligned against them, which has fundamentally, it's never really happened like that. It's never been the case that all the countries are against them, but it seems that that may be the case when all is said and done here. And if they follow through with their planned invasion. And the consequence of this is that if the Muslim world is united against Israel, they may do some sort of bold action, like, for example, Hezbollah getting involved in the conflict, or these Iranian-backed militias, the Houthis from Yemen, some of these militias in Iraq, among others. And if that's the case, then again, this goes from being a local conflict, which is, from a strategic point of view, not important, into a regional war. And it turns into a regional war where if Israel is attacked by Shiite militias, Israel may retaliate against Syria and Iran. And if they retaliate against Syria and Iran, it invites a response from Iran. And if Iran gets involved, then the United States is obligated to defend Israel. And if the United States gets involved, then it's conceivable that China and Russia may get involved to support Iran. And now this is a world war. So when people talk about World War III, that's how it escalates. And by the way, that happens in 48 hours. It's not like this is a protracted thing. It will spiral out of control, and there will be a tripwire that unknowingly activates World War III in days. That's all it takes. Hezbollah crosses the border into Israel. Israel retaliates against Syria and Iran. Iran retaliates against Israel. It's a world war. That's how simple and that's how quick. That's the timeline. And that is, you know, if there's a direct attack by Israel on Iran and then Iran responds, that's it. Now, we could pull back from the brink after that point. I don't know that it's necessarily inevitable, but that is where it creates the conditions for a confrontation between Russia and China. And consider that this is not the only flashpoint. There are flashpoints all over the world. NATO is still supporting Ukraine against Russia. So right now, the United States is providing tanks, missiles, ammunition, logistics, intelligence against Russia in a hot war on their border. At the same time, the United States is deploying warships and an aircraft carrier to the Eastern Med, where conceivably they could be striking Russia and China's allies, Syria and Iran, in a matter of weeks. At the same time that all of this is going on, you've got China sending warships and planes into Taiwanese airspace and its territorial waters, where the United States has been sending the Speaker of the House and high-ranking congressmen and sending them all sorts of military aid packages. So the point is, we're opening up many fronts. These are proxy wars that are losing their proxy nature, where increasingly there are direct confrontations with Americans and the Russia-China alliance on battlefields on several continents, in Africa, in Niger, in Europe, in Ukraine, potentially in the Middle East between Israel and Iran, and then in Asia on the Korean Peninsula and in the Taiwanese Strait. That's a very dangerous situation. It's like we talked about a few days ago. So Israel's retaliation against Palestine has a global significance. It's not just about the Palestinians. It's not just about Israel. It's really about everybody in the whole world. And so anyway, so that's their invasion. The other big development that I wanted to talk about is this. So there's a lot of diplomacy going on right now because all the players are aware of this. Vladimir Putin put out a statement in support of Palestine. China did the same. As I said, the Iranian foreign minister has been making the rounds. He's been to Lebanon, Syria, Iraq. The American Secretary of State has flown to Israel. He's now in Saudi Arabia. But there was something really peculiar the other day, which maybe you caught in the news, but our Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, went to Israel and delivered a speech a couple days ago, and he basically declared his allegiance to Israel by saying that he's a Jew. And this is a story. It says, quote, "With the United States stepping up its weapons shipments to Israel, Secretary of State Antony Blinken joined Prime Minister Netanyahu at a military base in Tel Aviv to reinforce support for Israel as long as America exists," he said. He said, quote, "I come before you not only as the U.S. Secretary of State, but also as a Jew." Nice. He said that his stepfather, Samuel Pizzer, survived Nazi concentration camps. He said, "I understand on a personal level the harrowing echoes that Hamas massacres carry for Israeli Jews and for Jews everywhere. This must be a moment for moral clarity." And honestly, that sentence explains our entire foreign policy, does it not? Does that not explain in just a few short words everything that the American government does, which is seemingly bizarre or irrational? He says, "I'm here in Israel." Now, by the way, the Secretary of State, for those that may be civics illiterate, that's our foreign minister. He's in charge of all the diplomacy. He's in charge of the American foreign mission, which is the embassies, the consulates. He's responsible for all of America's diplomacy with foreign nations. He's our ambassador to the world. The point is, if anybody should be an American, it should be this guy, because he is our representative, second only really to the head of state, which is the president. He is the representative of the Americans to the world. He's the representative of the American constitutional representative government to the world. So he goes to Israel, a country which we have a very deep and complicated relationship with, an ally, nominally, and says, hey guys, I'm not just here as a representative of America. I'm not just here as America's top diplomat. I'm also here as one of you. Because Israel's a nation of Jews. It's a Jewish state of Israel. So he arrives and says, I'm one of you. I'm not just here. I'm not merely or exclusively or only an American. I'm a Jew. And that means that I got your back. That means that I'm on your side and I'm against Palestine. Now, what kind of foreign policy is that for a nation to have? Could you imagine if China sent a diplomat to another country and they said, hey, I'm actually on your team? What if China's top ambassador went over to Mexico and said, hey, I'm actually ethnically Mexican, and so I'm one of you, I'm with you, I totally relate to you, and we are 100% on your side. You think that would fly in China? You think that Beijing would tolerate that? Would any country, should any country tolerate that? The top diplomat being a foreigner? Being somebody that even though, and by the way, it also outlines the Jewish consciousness, which is that they never really fully become American. They're never really fully part of the American nation. Some of them can assimilate, and some of them do. But a lot of them, their Jewish identity is more important to them than their American identity. We all know that. We all see it all the time. Case in point, Ben Shapiro, with the hysterics all week. He's an American commentator. He lives and makes his fortune in America, off the backs of Americans. He talks about American politics. And yet, although America has been in rapid decline for 7 years, I've never seen him more angry and more emotional and more hysterical than when Israel was under attack. And what does that tell you about a guy like Ben Shapiro? I think we all know, as a Jew, he cares more about Jewish people in Israel than he cares about his fellow Americans. Everyone knows that. In fact, he said it himself. He went to a conference earlier this year and he said, well, the only reason that I can support America is because I know that Israel is my backup. I can be a patriot because if things go south in America, I could always go to Israel. And I support America because America supports Israel. So they just say it openly. And by the way, when you call them out for it, when you say that they're more loyal to Jews or Israel than their own country, they say that's anti-Semitism. Well, it happens to be a fact. So I guess reality is anti-Semitic. And I don't know about you, but I live in reality. And I guess the truth is anti-Semitic. And I don't know about you, but I want to tell the truth. So be it. But that's really the issue that we have in this country, and that explains the whole dilemma that we've been talking about on this show for many, many years, which is that that mindset of Shapiro and Blinken is the mindset of many of the Jews that are extremely influential in Hollywood, in mainstream media, in the State Department, in the Pentagon, that are putting up money for congressional or presidential campaigns. The problem is, and you know, I'll remind you, the title of this show is America First. The problem is that they don't see Americans the same way that they see Jews. They don't see America the same way they see Israel or the Jewish diaspora. They have a foreign and different allegiance. That's why, and it's not every single one of them, but it is a lot of them. And that's why Blinken goes to Israel and says, I'm not just the diplomat from America. I'm also a Jew. Well, you know what? We need an American to be the top diplomat who is just the American diplomat. That's what we need. Now, that person can be from different backgrounds. You know, American isn't technically an ethnicity. Some have said that it is at this point, but for the sake of argument, that diplomat can be Irish, they can be Scottish, they can be German, they can be Italian, whatever. But when America, with its constitutional representative government, sends a diplomat to a foreign nation to negotiate on the behalf of the American people, he should be just an American, not an American and a Jew who relates to them. He should be just an American. And if he happens to be a Jew or he happens to be some other thing, you need to check that at the door when you get nominated. And there's a concept that goes into this, which is that when you're in leadership, you have responsibility. I'm a conservative. So I don't believe in this individualism that you can make a fortune or you can be in government and you can do whatever you'd like. There is an obligation on the part of the leadership of a country, and that's not just the government, the leaders. There's an obligation on the part of the nobility or the aristocracy, the leaders of the country, to take care of the country, to take care of the society. They have to be custodians. They are appointed leaders. And so, and I think this is a pretty universal belief, as leaders, they're the first servant. They are to serve the entire country. And so just like it's inappropriate for Antony Blinken to say, well, I'm not just the diplomat for America, I'm also a Jew, and that's influencing me in my decision-making, it's also inappropriate for the people that produce media in America to feel that way. Media is, in case you haven't noticed, extremely influential and important. And this goes back to the days of the ancient Greeks where they talk about poetry and song. What the media says shapes the mind of the people in the country. It shapes opinion and it creates an information ecosystem. Should we have people that control that have a foreign allegiance, or should they be patriotic Americans? And the same, by the way, goes for the culture-making institutions like Hollywood. The same goes for the elite-making institution, which is academia. And the same goes for the government, which is tasked with the creation, enforcement, interpretation of the law. All of those leaders, all those organs of the American elite should be just American, not American and a Jew. Not American and my grandfather was in the Holocaust. Not I'm an American and my grandfather was in the Pale of Settlement. Just an American. This is common sense. And by the way, ironically, that's how it is in Israel. All the leadership of Israel are ready to die for Israel. They're not Israel and American. They're not an Israeli Jew and an Arab and a Muslim and an American and a German and a Christian, they're all Jews. That's their first, foremost, and in many cases, it's their only identity. And as such, they have a very patriotic government. They have a very patriotic society. That's why they're a strong society. That's why they're militarily, economically strong, and it's why they have strong families, which is a social strength. That's social meaning societal strength. We don't have that. And largely we don't have that because the people that run the country are like Blinken, literally and in some cases figuratively. He says he goes before them, I'm not just an American, I'm also a Jew. Well, you know, that's actually a conflict of interest, wouldn't you say? It's actually a conflict of interest when you're an American mediating a conflict between Jews and Palestinians, and you roll up there and say, hey, well, I'm a Jew too. Well, then maybe you should look for different employment then. Maybe you should go work somewhere else. Because we need Americans negotiating that, not Jews. And you'd feel the same way if that person went to Palestine and said, I'm not just an American, I'm also a Palestinian Arab Muslim. You'd feel the same way. You'd feel the same way if the top diplomat went to China and said, hey, don't worry, guys, I'm not just an American, I'm also Chinese. It's just common sense. But it's only a problem when it comes to Jews, because Jews operate in this unique space where we can't talk about them. We can't talk about them as a distinct nation that exists inside and outside of Israel for reasons, because they call us anti-Semitic if we do. Anybody would have a problem if we had a Chinese diplomat saying that, or a Russian diplomat saying that, or a Muslim diplomat saying that. But because he's a Jew, we hold them in a special category and say, well, there are religious or patriotic colleagues, you know, they're not like these other groups. We can't have any problem or really even acknowledge that they have this Jewish identity. To do so would be a form of bigotry. But it's true. And by the way, and like I said, it's not just Blinken, and this is not just abstract. Take a look at the United States engagement in the Middle East going back 60 years, and even further than that. Do you think that you can maybe explain some of the events that have happened with this understanding in mind? How about the war in Iraq? Do you think that the war in Iraq had anything to do with the fact that there were a lot of people like Blinken in the State Department and the Pentagon who were going to Israel not just as Americans but as Jews? Because the war in Iraq totally benefited Israel. We took out their number one enemy. And when we supported the rebels in Syria, it was the same. And when we overthrew Gaddafi, it was the same. And as we have exerted maximum pressure on Iran, it's the same. You think that has something to do with it? The fact that we have all sorts of people that are not just American diplomats or generals, but they're also Jews? I think that has a lot to do with it. In fact, we know it has a lot to do with that. And this is just unacceptable. It's comical. And by the way, it also explains the conflict with Russia, because many of these Jews, like Ben Shapiro, for example, Ben Shapiro is a Russian Jew. A lot of these Jews that came to America in the turn of the last century came here from Russia. So some of the most famous American Jews are, they're actually, you would call them immigrants from Russia, but they're ethnically Jewish. And Russia famously was anti-Semitic. They segregated the Jews into the Pale of Settlement, where they were separated out from the rest of the people and they were treated badly, so the Jews say. And so that's a big part, for example, of why the Bolsheviks, who were all Jewish, were so brutal against the Russian royal family. It's why they were brutal against the Russian population, because they were Jews that hate Russians. And a lot of those same guys, the same Jewish Russians like Trotsky and like Lenin and like Beria and many others that were killing Russian Christians in the Winter Palace or killing Russians in the Russian countryside with the same antipathy for Europeans, Christians, and specifically Russians, they came here and their descendants are Ben Shapiro and their descendants are Blinken and their descendants are the Jews in the State Department. Maybe you think that's part of the reason why they hate Russia so much. Additionally, famously, Russia, then the Soviet Union, gave support to the Egyptian leader Nasser, who attacked Israel in 1967. It was Russia, then the Soviet Union, that gave support to the Arab coalition that went to war with Israel in 1973. You think that also plays a part in why the Jews hate Russia? And Russia also, in the current day, supports Iran and Syria. They shored up the Assad government in Syria. They have allowed Iran an economic lifeline while they've been sanctioned by the United States. Maybe that's another reason why we hate Russia, because otherwise it doesn't really make too much sense, does it? So I love that statement. He goes out there and says, I'm not just a diplomat, I'm also a Jew. And that sentence describes all of American society. That's all of our elites. All of our elites are the same way. When Kanye West came out last year and said, Jews invented cancel culture, who do you think invented cancel culture? Jews run the media. We saw a lot of Blinkens avail themselves in Hollywood, the leading agents for entertainment, the banksters, they all came out and said, hey, we're not just Americans, we're also Jews. And so these are these mask-off moments when we realize who's really in charge here. And those ethnic and religious identities matter. It's not just me saying, oh, I don't want Jews to run things because I just don't like Jews for no reason. It's because ideas have consequences. Heritage has consequences. Yes, they're different than us. They are different than us. And who's us? Christian and mostly European descended Americans. My ancestors came here from Italy, Ireland, and Mexico, and they're all Catholic. That's very different than Jews that came here from Europe. Very different. Because the Jews in Europe, They never even lived among Europeans. They lived in isolated communities led by rabbis. They spoke a different language. They had their own courts. And the Christians and Jews hated each other for thousands of years. And they fought. And the Christians expelled them and did inquisitions and segregated them. And they had different rights. And so when these Jews come to America, they have a whole different attitude towards America. They have a whole different attitude towards Europeans and Christians. And as religious Jews, they have different values too. So they, in a sense, have a different nationality. They have a different religion. They have different values. They're different from us. And those differences matter. And those differences manifest in the leadership of Jews in the United States. And that's the issue here. It's not, whenever people encounter my stuff for the first time, they say, you know, this guy just has this problem. He's like a hater. It's not based on hatred. I don't hate anybody. I love everybody. I don't hate them. I don't hate them for what they are or who they are. I don't hate anybody. And I don't have a problem with anybody for arbitrary reasons. Like, it's the same thing with black people. You know, now people are starting to understand. It's like, I don't know that anybody was ever racist because they don't, you know, hey, this guy, it's different color. You're a different color? Fuck you. It was more like, no, like, there's a pattern of behavior. I don't know that people dislike people for being black. I think they dislike the fact that whenever someone's getting held up at gunpoint, it's a black person. There it is. And similarly, I don't have a problem with people for who they are. I don't have a problem for that they are what they are. But when we're talking about our country, which is a vast place, we have to talk about these different people and their different ideas and how they affect our quality of life here. We can't have Jewish people in the leadership because their loyalty is not to the United States. That's just it. You can't be going to Israel and saying, I'm not just an American, I'm also just like you. That's inappropriate. That's unacceptable. That's a definition of a dual loyalty. You can't be in the government as a diplomat, no less, as a diplomat to the nation with the conflict of interest and have a dual loyalty. I mean, this is just obvious. It's just common sense. And similarly, you can't have people that don't believe in Jesus creating media because media instructs in morals. And Christian morality is different than Jewish morality because Christians worship the true and living God and the Jews don't. So if media is the instructor of morality, if the law is the instructor of the morality, and we derive our morality from the true and living God, which is Jesus, then Jews can't really have a part in that. They just can't. Case in point, I watched Dennis Prager, who is a Judeo-Christian Jewish conservative, defend pornography to an audience of college students. He went up there and said, if we as Judeo-Christian conservatives are against pornography, we're never going to win over the young people. He said, there's nothing evil about pornography. There's nothing evil. He said, I believe in a reasonable God that allows people to masturbate and watch pornography. You're telling me it's not a problem that Jews make all the movies? You're telling me it's not a problem that they're in all the culture-making institutions with beliefs like that, with shitty beliefs like that? Again, ideas have consequences. Judaism and Christianity are not the same. And the differences are not, it's not like, oh, well, hey, they're Saturday, we're Sunday, they're Hanukkah, we're Christmas. No, it's like they don't have a problem with abortion. They don't have a problem with transgenderism. They don't have a problem with pornography. They don't have a problem with killing Gentiles in the case of Palestine. They don't fundamentally have a problem with it. It's not immoral in their religion. And so these are, although we don't think of it, but they are, these are morality-making institutions. We can only have Christians running them. And, you know, you can take this and you can apply it to every aspect of it because there are Christian precepts for economics as well. So the same is true of banking. There are Christian precepts about many things. We have to have a Christian leadership and it has to be American for any of this to work. You see the consequences when we don't. And all you have to do is listen to what they say. Don't even listen to me. Whatever. Don't listen to me. Listen to them in their own words. Dennis Prager goes up before impressionable young people as a moral authority. Prager University. He's a teacher. He's a professor. With his Israeli spy, CEO. It's on our LinkedIn page. And says, I believe in a reasonable God that he's going to let you jerk off if your wife dies or something. It's like, what? It's in their own words. You're okay with that? And Blinken, I'm not just American, I'm also a Jew. That's a big problem if you're the American diplomat. And it goes on and on and on and on. But you get called anti-Semitic for even talking about it. You get called anti-Semitic for acknowledging it. And if you're anti-Semitic, you get censored. So you can't talk about it. Censored by who? Presumably people that are not just Americans, but also Jews. So it comes full circle. But anyway, so that's that. And the last thing I want to talk about is this. We're running out of time, but I did want to get into this before the weekend. So all these Palestinians now are protesting around the world. They're protesting the treatment of the Palestinians by the Israelis. And they've been protesting in Western countries because, surprise, surprise, we've had open borders for 60 years. And even more so in Europe. In Europe, they've imported a lot of them. They've imported many more Asians than we have. And anyway, so the Palestinians have been protesting in New York and LA and London and Paris. And what's amazing is now the media is there, have no tolerance for this. Now everybody's anti-refugee. Isn't this incredible? In 2015 and 2016, Donald Trump came out and said, we have to build a wall to stop immigrants from coming here. He said, France is no longer France because Muslim migrants have taken over. And many conservatives talked about how these refugees from these barbaric countries are raping everybody and they're killing everybody. And you know what the left said? They said, how absolutely dare you? That is racist. That is Islamophobic. Islam's a religion of peace. Everybody's welcome. This country's for everybody. Fast forward 8 years later, the Palestinians attack Israel, and the Palestinians and all these Western countries have celebrated it, and now all these countries have become like Hitler for the Muslims. England has said they will deport anybody that supports Hamas. France has made it illegal to protest. In the United States, MSNBC, which is the liberal outlet, fired three Muslim commentators because they weren't sufficiently pro-Israel. Do you remember in 2015 or 2016 when Donald Trump attacked Sadiq Khan? Do you remember this? The Gold Star family? The Gold Star Muslim family, where it was a dead Afghan war vet who was an Arab Muslim and the parents were at the Democrat convention. And Trump said, oh, they're doing Sharia law and he wouldn't let the wife talk because of Sharia law. She can't talk. And the stink they made, they said, oh, that's Islamophobic. They're the religion of peace. How dare you say that? How long did it, I think it took 3 days for London to say, we will deport your Muslim ass if you are against Israel. And MSNBC, the liberal outlet, said, oh, you support Palestine? Get the fuck out of here. You're fired. Pack your shit and go back to Saudi Arabia. Like, and that shows you where the power is. This is a story. It says, quote, France's interior minister has asked state representatives around the country to ban all pro-Palestine protests because they're likely to generate public disorder. And, you know, there hasn't been any public disorder in France in the last 5 years, right? Foreign students, academics, and workers who commit anti-Semitic acts or praise Hamas face being expelled from Britain under plans being drawn up by the Home Office. Robert Jenrick, the immigration minister, has commissioned officials in the department to consider how they could revoke visas on national security grounds where there is evidence of discrimination or support for the terror group in the wake of its attack on Israel. It follows a similar move by France's interior minister, who has ordered all foreigners who commit anti-Semitic acts
be expelled from the country immediately. Three have already been expelled. The UK can revoke visas for students, workers, and visitors on national security grounds, or if it is judged conducive to the public good to do so, provided there is proportionate evidence. This is at the same time that MSNBC let go of three of their correspondents, including Mehdi Hassan, who's not a fan of mine. And today, there was also a statement by Henry Kissinger, the legendary Secretary of State. He said that he's had an epiphany. 7 years ago, he said that Trump is a terrible racist for wanting to ban refugees. Now he says that he's realized that we should have never let all these people in the country because they bring their tribal rivalries with them. I wonder what he meant by that. I wonder what Henry Kissinger, the Zionist Jew, meant by that when he said that I suddenly am against refugees because they brought their tribal rivalries with them. What tribal rivalries? You talking about Puerto Ricans and Mexicans? You talking about Indians and Pakistanis? You talking about Palestinians and Jews? And by the way, this is all under pressure from the Jews, of course. When it's the normal problems that immigrants are causing in these countries, it just doesn't matter. When it's rape, when it's terrorism, when it's murder, you know, when it's 9/11, the worst thing that could result from 9/11 is that we blame Muslims. The worst thing that could result from a terror attack wherever is that we could blame the innocent Muslims. Israel's under attack. They can't even protest. If they say something in favor of Hamas, they get deported immediately. And once again, just like with Blinken, that's because the people in the government in Britain, in France, here at MSNBC, they're not just an MSNBC correspondent. They're a Jew. They're not just a French whatever. You know, they're a Jew. I'm not just English. I'm also a Jew. And that's why they can sit back and watch as Muslims go around the United Kingdom with swords cutting people. Or they could turn Paris, France into a refugee camp and they don't give a shit. They don't care. They say these are growing pains. Part and parcel of living in a major city, they say. It's part and parcel. Oh, it's a big city. People are going to go around chopping each other up with swords. But they protest against Israel in 3 days. In 3 days, they come up with an immigration policy more intense than Donald Trump, more intense than Hitler. If you support Hamas, we're going to exploit national security provisions to revoke your visa and send you home. And it just goes to show they don't care about us. They don't care about white people. Same thing with BLM. When BLM was killing cops, when they were forcing white people to their knees and demanding money and the abolition of police and the destruction of the monuments and new holidays, the Jews supported them. The Jews were the biggest patrons of BLM. Now that BLM supports Hamas, they want them out. They want them gone. Get rid of them. BLM has gone too far. This is terrible. I think we realize how bad they really are. What does that tell you about our society? Does that not tell you how our society works and who matters and whose problems are a priority and what the government suddenly becomes capable of doing when a certain group is threatened? When white people are under threat, it's a non-issue and it's not a priority and nobody cares. And it's actually a good thing. When Israel's under attack, it turns into a fascist state. Israel does, and all of her satellites do, including France, Britain, and the United States. Same thing with BLM. They support the decolonization rhetoric. When Kanye went out against the Jews, they said, oy vey, blacks have always been the closest allies of the Jews because we're both discriminated against. Now they hate him. Now they hate him because they support Hamas. You know, Darren Beatty, who I like, he's on Twitter saying, we have to attack the BLM Hamasification of our universities. Hamasification? What? Oh, yeah, you're not just an American, you're also a Jew. Forgot for a second. And it's amazing how blatant it is. It's amazing that when Americans get killed, it's literally like the government could not be asked to do anything about it.
They pretend like it's impossible. It's impossible to solve. These are intractable problems that are, you know, just impossible. What are we going to do? We're liberal. It's a liberal society. And that's just what people have accepted. People have become complacent with what they get. When Israel's under attack, you can do the most extraordinary fascistic things. It just doesn't even, everything goes out the window. Everything changes on a dime. And like I said, in such an obvious, blatant fashion, the double standard. It's like wall-to-wall coverage in the American media, and you can't believe anything other than that Hamas are just all terrorists and they all got to die. Because there was an emergency in Israel. Forget about our country. On our country, they can debate about whether white genocide is even happening. In Israel, if you're not in favor of genociding Hamas, you can't work at an American media company. You can't even live in London. You can't even live in England. And by the way, this goes to what I've been saying this for months now, and I feel like people didn't get it. Maybe they're getting it now. What did I say a couple months ago? I said, I saw a guy litter in my neighborhood, and I said, you should hate that guy more than Hitler. I said, we as a society need to see that guy as the enemy, and people like that, we need to get serious about putting them in jail forever. These people that have wrecked our cities, these people that have wrecked our subway, these people pouring in across the border, we have to deal with this problem. And we have to look at the big picture. Africa's population is exploding. Pretty soon they're all going to be here and they're going to be killing us. I said, so we need to look into the crystal ball in the future to understand what a dire and urgent situation it is today so that we can maybe entertain some extraordinary ideas to prevent that outcome. I said, and when we look at figures like Hitler, we can't look at them with any kind of consciousness like the Jews have, because Hitler was not our problem. Hitler was their problem. I said, and why would we look at Hitler with this insane, hysterical, paranoid hatred when Hitler was the Jews' enemy? I'm like, the Jews don't care about our enemies. The Jews don't care about what's happening to white people. They never speak out against it. They never speak out in defense of whites. I said, so why should we care about their boogeyman? Why should we care about their problems and their anti-Semitism and whatever? And maybe people didn't really get it. Now I think people are starting to get it. They don't care about us at all. So why should we care about their Holocaust? Why should we care about them? Why should we care about Hamas? Ben Shapiro said years ago, I don't give a damn about the Browning of America, but when Hamas does an incursion in Israel, look at what comes over him. Look at the emotional response. This is the facts don't care about your feelings. Liberals stand on the graves of children when they push for gun control. But this week, he's hysterical and he's showing pictures of dead babies and we have to show these pictures because... Really? We have to take our own side. We're Americans. We're Christians. We have to take our own side, okay? We have to take the side of Americans. We have to take the side of Christians. We can't just be mad at immigrants when they criticize Israel. We can't just be against politicians when they say something contrary to Israel. We have to think about what our interest is. What is the society that we want to live in? And we have to approach that as seriously as the Jews approach their goals and their vision, to the exclusion of what they want, with indifference to what they want. You know, the Jews are going to bitch and moan about, oh, Nick Fuentes is an anti-Semite. I don't care. I don't care. Because they don't care about sending America into Iraq. They don't care about the social media censorship. They don't care about the Browning of America. They're going, oh, Nick Fuentes is an anti-Semite and blah, blah. We need more people to be called that because it signals that you are not contingent and dependent on them. You know, good. We need more Christians and white Americans to stick up for themselves without having to constantly bend over for Israel, having to bend over for the Jews. They don't care about us at all. Case in point, they finally discover that importing all these immigrants was a problem when they start criticizing Israel. When they were taking down the Columbus monuments, they didn't give a shit. When they were outnumbering whites, they didn't care. Not a problem. It's rich diversity, you know, it's individualism. Hey, man, America's not a white country, it's an individual's country. Start criticizing Hamas? Oh, well, we got to deport all of them and we got to remove them from the universities. And imagine if American patriots could undertake the same extraordinary powers to solve America's problems that the Jews can when the state of Israel is threatened. In other words, when Israel's threatened, we can deport, we can fire people at MSNBC. Like, everything's on the menu. When America has problems, it's always baby steps. Oh, we can't do this, we can't do that, a little at a time, whatever. When Israel's under attack, Congress gets its act together and they send billions. You know, Congress is going to get it together and all 500 of them vote to support Israel. Imagine if we had that, if we had access to those extraordinary powers of government or media or corporate power to solve our problems. But we're told we can't. We're told we can't secure the border. We can't end the wars. We can't rebuild we can't do any of this stuff. We can't build the infrastructure. Israel's threatened? Oh, we could do all of it and more. We could destroy Iraq and build a new government. We can send them billions of dollars. We can fly over there today and sign a bill. We can ban everybody from media and expel the dissidents from the country. So, I mean, the situation is just totally upside down. And that's the proof. It's crazy. And, you know, for that reason, you almost want the Palestinians here. It's like you're telling me that Israel doesn't want them here because in the universities they're being trained to hate Israel. You know, maybe that's not the worst thing in the world, actually. Because on some level, groups like the Muslim Brotherhood and and BLM and the Palestinians, they're the only ones that have any kind of institutional power that are opposing Israel. Have you ever thought of it that way? A lot of people, here's the point. I've seen on Twitter, a lot of people are saying, these BLM guys that support Hamas, they also support decolonizing America. So, hey, white conservatives, us Jews and you white conservatives, we're on the same team against BLM because, you know, they want to decolonize Israel and America. Well, put another way, if you get rid of BLM and you get rid of the Palestinians and all the Hamas supporters, there's no institutional power opposing the state of Israel. You understand that? Because at least these Muslims have some support network and they don't like Israel. And BLM has some support network and BDS has some support network and they don't support Israel. There's nothing else like that. Maybe that's why they hate him so much. I don't like BLM. I don't. And I don't like all the Muslim migrants pouring into our country. But it's food for thought that the only ones that can speak out against Israel, it's not Paul Gosar who bitched out. It's not Marjorie Greene. It's not even Donald Trump. And it's not Alex Jones. And it's not Tucker. It's AOC. And it's the Palestinians in New York City. And you know what? Just like I said last year that I was glad Biden was president when Netanyahu was facing the protests over judicial reform, I'm glad we got Palestinians in America this week. Aren't you? I wasn't before. I didn't want them here before. But this week, when I see all the Palestinians in New York protesting what's going on over there, I'm glad they're here. Because if they weren't here, it would be the whole country would be a fucking Israeli flag from coast to coast. They would be having American truckers and, you know, Alex Jones would be leading it with the tank and they would unfurl a Israeli flag the size of the continental country that would literally cast a shadow over the whole nation if it wasn't for these libtards and Palestinians in L.A. and New York. And all these IOs are like, we got to stop the Hamasification of the universities. I don't know that we do. I don't know that we do. Maybe it's a good thing, actually, now that we think about it. Maybe it's a good thing that somewhere out there, there is some institutional opposition to Zionist capture of our government, you know, because they want to get rid of them that badly. They don't want to get rid of BLM. They want to get rid of Hamas. They don't want to get rid of all the other anti-white groups, even ADL. They love the ADL. But they want to get rid of BLM. Okay. So anyway, that's that. I want to move on. I think you get the point. This whole thing has just been unbelievably revealing. I mean, not anything that we don't know, not anything that I don't talk about on the show, but it's kind of like proving everything I've said for years correct. I mean, you can see it in full view, the double standards and this kind of stuff, but we're going to move on. I'm going to take a look at our super chats here. We'll see what you guys have to say about all this. Let me get set up here and we'll take a look. You know, the bottom line is America first, man. We got to be patriots. No room for dual allegiances.
Zirkin sent $25. I guess your self-esteem is more important than changing the dialectic to promote Christian nationalism. The government says you're 25 and a fetus is just a clump of cells, so that's that.
I don't know what that means, but thank you.
Benjamin Bingham sent $15. Love you more than ever, Nick. Big epiphany this week. Evil can have authority, but it can't have happiness.
Hey, thanks a lot, buddy. Love you too.
Punjabi Groiper sent $3. I tried to walk and chew gum today, morally speaking. I'm now getting masturbated to death at Treblinka.
Okay, that's actually pretty funny.
Mike Vance sent $5. I fell asleep before the super chats yesterday and whoops. I had a total new fag moment. You made me keck though. Love ya.
Well, hey, I appreciated the nice message, but I was like, hey man, it's not my anniversary. Don't you kind of hate that when someone wishes you like a happy birthday when it's not your birthday? It's like, not my birthday. You know what I mean? I appreciated the sentiment, but yeah, we're not there yet, okay?
Oh, Croatian underscore.
Dude, we can't be doing these. No, nope, sorry. I'll read like two of these or something. I'll read them in between. You can't be doing this. One out of six. Nope, I don't think so. Who do you think you are that you could do this? One out of six? It's not how it works. You send, you know, people want to send $20 over six messages. You don't get to write an essay. You want to send $20, send $20, put it in one fucking message. This is my show, not yours. Unreal. That's so obnoxious. One out of six. We're all going to sit here and listen to your six messages. Buy a fucking ad. Start a blog. I'm gonna monopolize the show for six messages in a row. I'm going to write my essay on this show right now. Get the fuck out of here. I'll refund every one of these. That's how much that pisses me off. I don't know why it bothers me today, but I'm just like so rude.
Hitler sent $3. 1/6. It's crazy to see how much Russia still identifies with the old SSSR when you look at their attitudes. For example, they dislike Israel only because they view it as a satrapy of the US, whom they...
I'll read them all.
Croatian underscore Hitler sent $3. 2/6. Still view as a nemesis and hate with a passion. They have this obscene one struggle type of sympathy towards the Jews since they were on the same side during World War II, the oppressed. Croatian underscore Hitler sent $3. 3/6. They are, spiritually, the shining beacon of the global south, of the poorers, of the downtrodden, the polar opposite of white excellence. They're almost like a cane that will unite with the scum of. Croatian underscore Hitler sent $3. 4/6. The world, BRICS plus, to kill Abel. As for Putin, Hess only based in so far as Hess a dictator. His mother Maria Elimova was a full-blooded Jew.
This is just trash. I'm not even finishing these. That's just retarded. The only reason that they support the global south is because they're against the American system. It's got nothing to do with... That's all rhetoric. You have to understand that's all rhetoric. When they say this stuff about colonialism and racism and whatever, it's rhetoric. Okay, this is another facet of soft power. Same thing with China. They're going out there and they're putting out this rhetoric about colonialism and the oppressed because this is the language of opposition to the American empire. They can't offer them more money than the United States. They can't offer them better weapons than the United States. But what they can say is, hey, we're like morally on your side because that's the battlefield. It is what it is.
America's no better. America's spreading liberalism and democracy. Like you say that like America is some sort of like state that's glorifying white excellence. America kneels for Black Lives Matter and says you need to put up a gay pride flag. So it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. Sure, Putin goes out there and says, oh, you poor Muslims and Africans, you were colonized. At the same time, they support these nations having a traditional society. They support authoritarian rule. Whereas the United States comes in and, yeah, they don't necessarily come in with this language about oppression, but they come in and say, hey, make gay marriage legal. Make it legal right now. Let women vote. Have a democracy. So, I mean, what a stupid comparison you're making, because it's the same thing. Yeah, okay, Russia still has this anti-colonial rhetoric. Well, America's rhetoric is they want gay marriage and women voting. So, I mean, that's just it. It's all rhetoric. We're all liberals now, you know. And I don't. That's a figure of speech. But the whole planet is liberals. So it's this anti-colonial rhetoric versus this like right liberal rhetoric about rights and democracy. It's like I said, it's six of one, half a dozen of the other. So that's just a stupid Jew take. You're just being a Jew right now when you say, oh, well, they hate Israel because, first of all, they don't hate Israel. If you know anything about Russian-Israeli relations, they don't hate Israel. They have a special relationship with Israel because of the Jewish diaspora in Russia and all the Russian emigrants that went to Israel. So that's not true. But they support Syria and they support Iran historically. And they support these countries because it's like a coalition of opponents of the American regime. So, I mean, they're not going to... Look, they're a global power and they need allies. They're not going to wrest Saudi Arabia from the United States, although they are now. But they, I mean, that wasn't the case 20 years ago. So they had Iran, they had Syria, they got North Korea. This is what they're stuck with. It is what it is. But, I mean, what a retarded thing to say. You just hate Russians or something. You're just a Russophobe. What other stupid nonsense did you say? Putin's only based insofar as he's a dictator. That's not true. He's trying to revive orthodoxy. He's very public and visible in his orthodox faith, which is a very big deal because Russia is trying to recover culturally from communism. So wrong. He's based in that way. He's based in the way that he's obstinate against gay rights. He's based in the way that he maintains a traditional society. He's based in the way that he supports Iran and Syria against Israel. You're not Croatian Hitler. You're fucking Croatian Jew. You're not Croatian Hitler. You're fucking Croatian Jew. Sounds like you're just some Zionist seething bitch.
Mike Vance sent $5. It's interesting seeing black TV personalities criticizing the Palestine dehumanization narrative and not bowing to Jews. People like Cornel West on Fox and Kamali Melbourne on BBC.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and, you know, this is part of the problem they've created is all these liberals are now against Israel.
Doug sent $10. Yo, resistance training is one of the best exercise activities you can do. Ruined a it. Rape a day keeps the doctor away.
Ruined the joke. Okay, actually, this guy said something nice about
Croatian underscore that. Hitler sent $3. 6/6 some of his monologue could just as well be excerpts from your show. I feel like you would totally be able to self-insert in his autobiographic part, too. You're literally him.
He's talking about Hitler. Okay, well, I feel bad now. Look, everything you said was pretty dumb, but I appreciate the compliment. I just totally disagree with what you said.
QW0P sent $3. Did you see the video of Ethan Klein weeping in response to videos of children murdered in Gaza? As a father, it struck him. He was clearly disturbed. I pray God softens our enemies' hearts.
I did see that. Yeah, that was very touching. You know, and there's some humanity, so I appreciated seeing that from him.
Adrian Blair sent $3. King, fulfill your destiny and ditch the big city and join.
Okay, thanks for that.
Sterling Stegix, I sent $3. Is proposing gay?
Yeah, I think it is kind of gay. And I know I'm going to get shit for that. I know people are going to spurg out or whatever. But yeah, I think it is really gay. I think the whole, like, elaborate proposal and, you know, niggas is crying and they're getting on one knee and everything. I don't want to get on a knee for my wife, okay? And I probably will because that's just what you do or whatever. But I do think a lot of it's gay. That's just me, though. Some people, you know, I know people are not going to like that. Everybody freaks out when I say stuff like that. When are you going to get married? You're the gay one. You don't want to get married. It's these elaborate proposals. I mean, I go to these weddings and they give these speeches and they talk about the proposal and they're like, so, you know, I went to the place where we had our first date. Or I recreated all of our first dates, or, you know, we went to this, you know, this, that, or the other. It's like, shut the fuck up. It's so, dude, the whole, like, that whole thing is so cringe. Maybe I'll feel differently when I'm in love, you know, and I'm like, I found the one. She's beautiful. I found the one. You know, maybe I'll feel differently, but that's how I feel about it now. Feel like it's the whole thing, you know.
Honey, will you make me the happiest man in the world and marry me, please?
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of want to just, I want to do it while we're both sitting down. Hey, will you marry, you know, as equals. I don't like this getting on one knee business. You know, somebody explain to me why that's actually based. I would love, can someone explain to me, you know, is that based? Because I feel like all this stuff is new. I feel like all these rituals and shit is new. I feel like the whole dating and getting on one knee and all, I feel like all this stuff is new. Am I wrong? But I just don't like it. Because I'm a male chauvinist. I'm a male chauvinist, and it is what it is. So, anyway. Is my microphone in the shot? No. Okay. So, yeah, I'm just not really into all that. Some guys are really into that. I'm not. Some guys, they are really like, I don't know. But maybe I'm just not like romantic or whatever, but none of that shit appeals to me at all. I'm kind of like, but you know what? I'm like an antisocial, like autist freak. Like, I don't really enjoy interactions very much. I mostly like to be by myself. I mostly like to do my own thing. I can only handle dealing with people for like 2 hours at a time. It doesn't matter who it is. If I'm with somebody for more than 2 hours, I'm like, okay, like go away now. Like go away. I need to be by myself. And even when I interact with people, I just like, I can't really connect, you know. But some people, they're like, they love their parties and their girlfriends and all that shit. I'm just not. I like to read. I like to play my games. I like to eat food. You know, I get way more excited about like pizza than anything. I get way more excited by like pizza or like when it's raining outside. Like, I would rather have like good weather for the rest of my life than be married. I would rather it like rain and be overcast 2 times a week for the rest of my life than be married. Like, I would rather like have pizza on Friday every week for the rest of my life than, you know, than go to a big party or something. Like, that's just, I like vibes. I like aesthetics. I like that kind of thing. I have this aesthetic sensibility, you know. Like today, for example, today is Friday the 13th. It was an overcast, rainy day. This new album came out, And so I drove out all day in the rain. And I had on my rain boots and I had on this cool outfit. That's like the best day ever. Then I came home and I watched a movie and I lit a candle and I fell asleep on the couch. This is like the perfect day for me. Some people, they want to go on these adventures and excursions and, you know, they want to get laid tonight or whatever. And for, they want to go to a party and meet new people. And me, it's like, that's my perfect day. This is my perfect day. So, anyway. So I don't really care for all that. All that ritual stuff. You know. I'm not sappy like that. But anyway, so I don't know if I'll be getting on one knee. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe someone will come in my life and I'll be like, "You're an angel. You're an angel. Will you make me the happiest man in the whole world and marry me?" You know, maybe I'll find the one. I don't know, though. We'll see. I'm really kind of back and forth. On the one hand, it's like I'm a soldier. On the one hand, it's like I'm a soldier. I got to be focused. On the other hand, it's like I don't want my line to die with me. I need kids and stuff. I just don't really feel like it. The whole thing just seems like such a chore. I just need someone who kind of knows what they're getting into. I just need a wife who, like, knows how I feel about that. I need a wife who's like, "Look, I just want, here's the deal, okay? You receive a husband who makes a lot of money, and you're going to be taken care of, and you're with the great genius, and the kids are going to be handsome and intelligent, and blah, blah, blah. And you know, they just need to know that that's the deal. And what I get is you're going to bear my children. You're going to shut the fuck up. You're going to make dinner, clean the house, you know. But it really just needs to be like a deal. Like, let's just shake on it, okay? Let's just make a deal instead of, because I don't know that I'm going to be out there like, you know. Well, I just don't know if she's the one. You know, like, I'm not that guy. I just don't know if she's the one. Do you like me? Do you really mean it? I'm not that guy. Do you really mean it? I'm just crazy about her. I can't stop thinking, you know, I'm not that guy. Like, so, I don't know if that's going to be me. It's got to be more like a handshake. Instead of a proposal, it needs to be like a handshake and an envelope. Forget the ring. Here's an envelope with $20,000 and let's shake on it, okay? See you at the wedding. And then the wedding's going to be in the church, and then that's it. No fucking party, no nothing. We're going to the church, then we're going home, we're having sex, and then we're going to bed. Happy anniversary. That's the deal, okay? Here's $20,000. Firm handshake. See you at the wedding. We meet at the church. Our families are there. We go home. We have sex. We go to bed. Then we watch a movie. We go to bed. We order some pizza. And everybody has a good time. Everybody gets what they want. I think that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. I'm not even going to be like, you know. It's like, all right, let's get this over with. Let's get this process started. You know. Anyway, that's how I feel about it. So, anyway, yeah, so we'll see. We'll see if that ever happens. I just want a son, dude. If I get all girls, it's just like, that's going to be like a Larry David moment. Imagine I go through all the trouble of getting married. We have all these kids and it's just like girl after girl after girl. It's like six girls. I'm just going to be like Job. I'm going to be like, why? Why? I was so mad. I was like, no. But that'll be, you know what? But that'll be like my God is teaching me a lesson. That's God, like, just punching me. Just like, you know, hitting me in the solar plexus. Like, Hey, you work for me. That's God saying, hey, you work for me, pal. And I'll be like, all right, fine. You're right, fine. Thanks for the girls, I guess. Be like, you're right. It's your plan, not my plan. Your plan. You know? That's God just dropping me. Just like fucking dropping me on my ass. Could you imagine me like in a minivan with like six girls taking them to like soccer practice? All right, girls, you ready? Do you bring your cleats? You know, drive over. Hey! You know, me talking to all the moms or like the coach. Hey, how's it going? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know how they are at this age. I would rather die. No, not really. Don't take me up on that. But like, could you imagine me bringing like snacks? Me just bringing like a sack of McDoubles. Here, I brought snacks. I go to McDonald's. I need 25 cheeseburgers. Here, I brought the snack for the team. Mr. Fuentes, we've talked about this. Healthy options. Yeah, whatever. Whatever the fuck. Just, look, I gotta go do a show with David Duke. I gotta stream with David Duke in 20 minutes. I didn't have time. Here's your cheeseburgers. No, kidding. Kidding. I'll be a good dad, because I'm a lover. I'm really a lover. I'm a loving guy. It's just, I love me. I just love me. Do you know what needs to happen? I need like a Han Solo type romance where like a woman, or like Puss in Boots. I'm like Puss in Boots. I need a woman who makes me love someone other than myself. That's what I need. I need a woman to come into my life and make me love someone other than myself. And then by extension, I'll be a good father. Because it's like, maybe that's my problem. It's just like, I love me. And, you know, I love how I look, and I love how I am. I need a woman who's going to like come into my life and just flip her hair, and I'll be like, I'm nothing, you know, I love you. And then I have, I know it sounds super gay, but like maybe that's, I need that sort of situation where I'm like the rogue narcissist, like, you know, no woman's ever fazed me. You know, then someone comes into my life and I'm like, now I'm a whole person, you know? So maybe it'll be something like that. Jogger Slayer says, loving yourself is gay and lib shit. Speak for yourself, you probably suck. You know, let's not pretend it's equal. You know, if you're some loser, you're probably like, hey, I don't love myself. It's like, okay, well, you know, there's a lot to love over here. Hey, well, there's a lot to love over here. I don't know what's going on over there, but speak for yourself. So, anyway. But I think that'll be, I need it to be like a movie. I like movies. I relate to the world through movies. I need it to be like a movie, okay? Spill your pumpkin spice latte on me, and then I unironically hate you. And then we bump into each other, you know, but then I soften, like La La Land. I need it to be like La La Land. I need to be like Ryan Gosling in La La Land, where, you know, I'm like, hey, you fucking bitch. And then, you know, but then she's at some party, and she trolls me, you know, like that kind of thing. It's got to be like that, you know? I've said this before. I've done this monologue 100 times, but that's how it needs to be. I'm just waiting for that to happen. I'm waiting for the game to come to me. I'm waiting for that. It's a grounder. I'm waiting for the game to come to me. I'm sitting here with my mitt, and I'm ready to catch. Not like sexually. I'm sitting here. I'm not like a gay sex man. I mean, like, I'm waiting for the game to come to me is my point. I'm waiting for serendipity, okay, if you will. That woman who you rear-ended, yeah, maybe, my manic pixie dream girl, but I never saw her again. She was hot, though, and she drove a cool car, and she was totally sexy the way she did that. I rear-ended her, and she pops out of the car, And she checks the damage, and then she does this. And it was the coolest thing. I was like, I know this is so gay, but I was like, oh my gosh, that was so cool. I didn't know a woman could be that cool. It was just, I didn't expect it. It was such like a cold and smooth move. I was like, what the fuck? Did that just happen? Because I'm like a total idiot. I was on my phone, and I rear-ended her in my buddy's car, actually, on accident. And she jumps out. She's cool as a cucumber. You know, normally I hate women, and I expect a woman to be like, oh, my gosh, whatever. But she comes out, and cool as a cucumber, she just looks, and she's like, hey, I'm watching you. And she jumps, flips her hair. She jumps back in. I was like, what the? I'm dead. That's it. I'm dead. Like, it was crazy. I thought that only happened in movies. You know, Gamergate told me that that doesn't happen, but it was real. But it was real, and it was hot as fuck, so I don't know. You know what it is, though? They got to be like women. The women in the world, or in America, they're just like these piggies. Then you see, like, a real-ass woman who's actually, like, a woman, and you're like, whoa. So, anyway. Lemon says, I love women. Dude, shut the fuck up, faggot. One woman did a hot thing. Let's not get carried away. All right, anyway.
Dirty_Dingo sent $100. Happy 50th anniversary to the day of Operation Nickel Grass. When Israel was preparing to nuke Egypt/Israel because they were losing in the Yom Kippur War. They then blackmailed Nixon into sending $20 billion worth of tanks, aircraft, howitzers, etc. to avoid nuclear holocaust in the Middle East. Thank you, Ben, for the reminder.
Real. Yeah, and thank you for the big super chat. I appreciate it. And it's the same thing they're doing today. It's exactly the same thing. Israelis were caught off guard in 73. Egyptians took the Sinai, and they were getting ready to drop nukes until they got Nixon to send in the airlift. And it's the same thing here with Shapiro when he goes, it's not quite the same, but it's similar. When Shapiro says, oy vey, if America doesn't help us kill all the Gazans, and we're going to freaking nuke everybody. They're evil, man. They're pure evil. But thanks for the big super chat.
Pretty_fly_white_guy sent $3. 253. It looks like most of MSN doesn't support Israel in this. Is that an argument against Jewish control of the media?
They do. They fired 3 Muslims for being too pro-Hamas.
Gaza Growiper sent $3. Gurgle gurgle. Ack.
Okay, gross.
Based off Groypler sent $25. Why did the Concrusher quit his job? It was so depressing. Get it? Anyway, 07 King.
That's great.
God bless.
Thank you.
Chad Champion sent $3. America is like that one nigga who simped for the ugly girl
Real.
Israel and in the process stopped hanging out with his friends and now is all alone and stuck with a fat ugly chick and no friends.
That is so real. Now Russia and China are having all the fun, and we're stuck with this one.
Wowfi sent $6. Congrats on being the most followed Nick on Rumble and also fight for the 3 until they're free. Do not vote in the Minecraft mob vote on October 15th. Mojang Studios is being lazy. Thanks for reading.
Hey, thank you. Am I the most followed Nick on Rumble? I don't know even what other Nicks there are, but let's go.
Blackwell sent $10. Great week of content. Thank you, and God bless.
Thanks, buddy.
07.
Glad you like it.
Kawa Caped Ka sent $3. Watched any spooky movies this Spooktober?
No. No, I don't like scary movies, and, you know, I was going to go to the show today, but they didn't have anything playing. It was like, they had like 3 movies at the show, and like 2 of them were horror movies. The other was the Paw Patrol. And they and they had that sci-fi movie, but it's got a black guy in it. I'm just so over, like, the black lead that's, like, robotic. Like, Tenet. Tenet ruined black leads for me because he sucks so hard, but I guess they just had to have him in there because Dunkirk was, like, a, you know, white nationalist picture. So, yeah, there was nothing good playing. I was going to go to the theater. I'm pissed. So I came home, I just put Blade Runner on, I fell asleep on the couch, that's why I was late today. I don't know, I was so tired today, I woke up late, But I came home. You know, you want to know why? I had a huge lunch. I had like two hot dogs and a beef sandwich and fries and ice cream. So I, just, I went out. I had a huge lunch. And then I just came home and crashed. Had a huge lunch, drove around, got sleepy, fell asleep on the couch, woke up. Oh, it's time to start the show. So, yeah.
Jesus Repector sent $20. Hello.
Hey.
Crab Goblin sent $3. Hey Nick, have you considered having a pumpkin on your desk for October? Could be a cool little seasonal decoration.
Okay.
Just an idea.
Bait. Yeah, I've been trying to get one, but just I keep not doing it instead. So I'll bring one on Monday, okay?
Spence sent $4. What's up with this Carlin girl? She was reacting to you and looking disgusted not too long ago. Did she fall in love with you?
No, I fell in love with her. I mean, I just think she's so amazing. I don't know, she's just fun. She's funny. I'm just being friendly. I'm okay, I'm friendly. I'm a friendly guy. And she's fun. She's funny. You know? I like it. We kind of have like a funny back and forth. I like her attitude. She's like a no-nonsense. She's got this attitude that I like. I'm a fan. I like her. So, Groypers are fans.
Base Tarek sent $3. I don't know why everyone's talking shit about hummus. I, for one, love hummus. Especially roasted garlic hummus with Ritz everything flavored crackers. Let's get real now.
I don't know who's against hummus, but yeah, I like it too.
Kawa Caped Cassent $3. Hi Nick, and do the right thing when bugging out. Tell Sal to throw some extra mozzarella on that motherfucking shit. Sal says extra cheese is $2. Does he mean extra cheese alone is $2? Eat $2 plus cost of slice.
I think the whole thing is $2. Because that movie came out at, what, like 1990? 1989? Because it coincided with the release of the Public Enemy album. So I think it was 89. So in 89, I'm sure it was $1 a slice. So probably $1 for the slice plus $1 for extra cheese would be my guess. That's a great movie. It's used to be one of my favorites. I haven't seen it in a long time, though. But when I was younger, I watched that movie a lot. Because I love the music. I love Public Enemy. It was so funny when I was on that show. I was on that black radio show a few months ago. And they're like, oh, you like Public Enemy? Name 5 songs. And I named like a bunch of deep cuts. And they were like, damn, okay. You know, black people love me because I love them. I'm a lover. I love them. I love everyone. Yeah, but that was some... They're like, oh, give us a Public Enemy song to close us out. And I gave the... I told them, after I defeated the entire panel, I told them, shut them down. But the Pete Rock remix, which is, in my opinion, the better version of the song. And everybody in the comments was like, damn, okay, he thought he did something with that. So I earned their respect. I earned their respect. They love me because I went in there and I just said, what's up? And I know their culture, too. So, yeah, no, probably $2 for the whole thing.
Ben Shapiro's circumcision sent $6. You don't spend any time being America first when it comes to the Muslims. You focus on the Jews a lot, which is great and all. But you need to consider Hamas being a threat to USA. Condemn Hamas? PLS.
This is bait.
Tac Nuke sent $3. My birthday yesterday...
And by the way, the just to answer that, Muslims don't control America, Jews do. That's the difference. If it was Muslims, I'd be talking about Muslims right now.
27 G's. Getting older, friend. A great 4 years watching your show. The due date for the baby is April 20th.
Wow.
Patrick used to brag about his B-day, but what a waste, lol.
Are you really having a baby? Or are you just kidding? Well, hey, congrats on the baby and happy birthday. Hope it's a good one. Damn, you're getting old. I'm getting old. We're both getting old. It never stops. Make it stop. Make it stop. I wish I could be young forever. I was watching the end of The Sopranos the other day, and it's very haunting. That whole sequence is just so... I was getting, like, scared. If you haven't seen it, you know, don't listen to this, but I for whatever reason, I was just watching it, and I love that shot, which apparently was inspired by the Space Odyssey, where he walks into the restaurant, and he looks at his booth, and then it cuts, it's a POV, and then it cuts to a close-up, and then it cuts back to the POV, but he's there. And then it implies, I watched one of these videos where they mash together all the people walking through the door. Like, he looks up, then they walk through the door, he looks up, they walk through the door, and then Meadow walks through the door, and it cuts to black, meaning he dies. Meaning that's what he sees, and it's like, that's how it's going to happen. That's how it's going to happen to us. And I watch another video where it goes into that scene where he's in the hospital, and he has that dream sequence outside the mansion. Just freaky stuff. So, yeah, make it stop. I wish it could just stop, but we're all marching forward. We're all marching forward, inevitably, to die. But yeah, that scene is, like, scary. When you really understand it, it's actually terrifying, which makes it genius, in my opinion. You know, because if you haven't seen it, he sits at the diner, and every time someone comes through the door, the bell rings. You know, like at a restaurant, they have like a little bell that jingles when you open the door. And so four people walk through the door, and it repeats every time. The bell jingles, it shows a close-up, and then it shows his point of view. The bell jingles, it shows a close-up of him looking up, and then his point of view, which is the person walking through the door. The last time the daughter is walking through the door, he looks up, and then it cuts to black, meaning he got shot. He died. Which is like, because it's like you died. It puts you inside of his, you're him. So you die with him. It's very freaky. When you don't get it, it's like, oh, this is weird. When you really get it, it's like, damn, I'm dead. That's what it's going to be like. That's what it that's how it happens. You just cuts to black. You're dead. So, pretty freaky. I can't get over that. It's haunting. It haunts me. Anyway.
Thanks, Nick sent $110.
Whoa! Hey, thanks for the big super chat. I appreciate it, buddy. No message, even better. Thanks a lot.
Evariste Galois sent $3. Don't nuclear weapons prevent an all-out World War III?
Stupid question.
Harry Potter sent $5. Don't be afraid of Hamas. It's just mashed up chickpeas, good on pita bread. Nick, why does Trump's hummus 2017 recognition of Israel's capital of Jerusalem matter? 07 for brave Palestinian freedom fighters.
It doesn't really matter. I mean, it matters in like a symbolic way, but it doesn't really matter.
Totenkoof sent $5. Today I spoke with my father about there being no statute of limitations on a grudge. Your show tonight really echoes that sentiment. The Jew lives by that creed. Still mad after hundreds of years.
Dude, they're mad after thousands of years. They've been mad for thousands of years, but you're right.
Natsuk Greekoid sent $3. Half I just thought of this OMW to the beach. The main role of the government and society is to help people go to heaven. And the truth is that hell is filled to the brim with women so suppressing. Natsuk Greekoid sent $10. To have women's nature is actually a good thing. It's not necessarily that we are anti-woman, although that's a small part of it, but it's ultimately because we want women to go to heaven and they must be controlled if we want to achieve that. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, yes, but, you know, look, we don't need to come up with all that to say that women are dumb and like they shouldn't be running the country. You know what I mean? Like, we don't need this convoluted workaround to say, well, actually, well, we want you to go to heaven. And like, yeah, of course, it goes without saying we want people to go to heaven. And, you know, that goes hand in hand with we want a society where justice is dispensed and everybody is in their sort of natural place. You know, but that sounds like you're just trying to excuse it to your girlfriend or something. Like, well, oh, no, listen, babe, we're not anti-woman. We just want you to go to heaven. It's like, no, hey, just tell her, shut the fuck up, bitch. Like, you don't need to say, hey, listen, babe, we need to talk about something. We need to talk about you something.
well, we want you to go to heaven. Well, hell is full of women who are, you know, shut the fuck. Just say, hey, listen, you know what, bitch? Hey, shut up, bitch. That's all you got to say. All you got to do is grab him by the face and say, hey, shut up, bitch. That's all you got to do. Kidding. You don't need to. Listen, babe, I just want you to go to heaven. No, you grab him by the face. Hey, shut up, bitch. You don't even say it in her ear. You say it in, like, her mouth. Hey, shut up, bitch. You say it in her mouth. Hey, shut up, bitch. You know, you don't even... Because you don't even... you're just saying it at her, like, at her stupid face. That's what you're saying. No, kidding. I would never do that. I'm kidding. I love women. I'm very gentle. I would never do that. But you could do it like this. I've always thought like this, but you could also sort of like this, like, hey, listen, shut up, bitch. You do it like that. Kidding, though, but I'm kidding. I would never do that. You should never do that either. Never do that to your wife. Never do that. Never do that. That's despicable. Never do that shit. That's cool. Disgusts me. Grosses me out, pig. Don't fucking do that. Don't do that at all. Don't do that to your wife. That's terrible. Who would ever do something like that? Don't ever yank him by the ponytail and say, hey, shut up. Don't ever do that shit. It's just monstrous. It's inhumane. And it's monstrous and abusive. Don't do that. Don't even think about doing that. It's not right. You gotta grab her, take her by her hands, and say, listen, babe, I just want you to go to heaven. I want you to be there with me.
Crab Goblin sent $3. Love or hate Paul Gosar, he lived to fight another day.
Yeah, right.
Goth Grow Iper sent $10. Wild past 2 weeks. Things are happening. My mom fell asleep watching Europa, the last battle tonight because she saw a link and last week she was ranting about Trump backstabbers in Israel and during, called you a hero. I was like, what da? Yay.
No, that's actually cool, though. Hey, thanks. I love you. Love your mom. God bless, buddy. That is based, though. Based mom watching Europa, the last battle? Hey, let's go, buddy.
Laundry Grow Iper sent $3. I am unable to believe that these thieves, liars, and vile parasites are able to have the control they do
no
on their
way.
Own. They're too evil to be able to seize control without the lead
Whoa.
Of fallen angels.
You're the first person to say that. Did you know you're the first person to say that? No one's ever thought of it that way. No way.
Ari sent $10. With AI / deepfake tech advancing to a point where it's getting impossible to distinguish if what we see on TV / internet is real, how will news media be able to retain credibility? Can we get to a point where the public loses all faith in news outlets?
I don't know. That's just it. There's really no answer for that yet. Because it's easy to, if you look at like Unreal Engine and it looks real. AI, voice generation, all that. What we see from consumer products is probably not as advanced as what they already have. When you see AI generated stuff, what you're seeing is a consumer product that has gone public. But, you know, what the military has is probably far more sophisticated. So, you know, that's tough.
Ari sent $3. Carlin was wondering if you have room for her
Ew,
underneath your desk
gross.
Next to Hannah.
How could you say such a sexist remark?
Farid Lukovic sent
also,
$20.
Hannah Gase, I didn't realize that she was ugly as sin. I thought she was hot because she was bald and she had like a weird look, kind of like a Sinead O'Connor thing going on. But no, she looks weird. She grew her hair out. She looks like a clown. She grew her hair out. Now she has like this little curly afro. She looks like a dude. She looks like a dude from the 70s. You see that picture I posted on Telegram a few months ago? Eh. I thought she was like, there was a time when she had super short hair. She had kind of like this tomboy dyke thing going on, which is kind of like weird hot, like weird in the hot way. Or hot in a weird way. And, you know, I said on Twitter, I said, oh, I'm grabbing the back of her head like Peach Fuzz. And anyway... Whatever. But then I saw this picture of her and she had like this short curly hair
cut, and she looked like a clown. She looked like she had clown hair. It was very freaky and gross and, ugh, just ugly and weird. No. No, thank you. No, thank you.
I like the people you have been collabing with on the spaces. But it's kind of annoying listening to all these Arabs coping about white countries being able to dominate them. That girl Khalees keeps saying is a British person, and what gives America the right? Because it's America, bitch.
We gotta put that aside right now. It's one struggle. We gotta put our differences aside and come together against Israel. One struggle. We can deal with all that later, okay? But for now, it's one struggle. And we're working together, okay? Yeah, if only, yeah, here's the problem. No white people are speaking out against Israel. So you can have a problem and say, oh, boo, why do we have to listen to these Muslims criticizing Israel? Yeah, well, where are all the fucking white people speaking out against Israel? Because I don't see them. They're not doing spaces. They're not doing this stuff. Are they now? They're all hiding. They're all living to fight another day, or they're at the Blaze. They're pretending not to know about Israel, or they're white nationalists, but they pretend not to care. So, there you go.
Farid Lukovic sent $20. Putin is a smart guy. He recognizes that his comments on the war will win favor with the Muslim world. We do.
Yep, yeah, he's siding with this emergent pan-Islamic faction.
Natsuk Greekoid sent $3. Great stream, man, you're always on point. Love when you get passionate and start yelling. It shows how much you care. Much love, man.
Well, I don't like the yelling. The yelling's not a good look, but thank you.
Farid Lukovic sent $20. I'm a raging anti-Semite, but it's kind of hard not to root for the Jews when the Arabs are the eternal victim while at the same time slaughtering Europeans.
Dude, who let him in? Who let him in? Goofus? Who brought them here? That's what they do. Have you ever seen Aladdin? That's what they do. The Jews brought him in here. We knew they did that when we tried to stop it. So you got to get it straight.
Gaim Stein Nosenberg sent $3. Raising awareness about atrocity propaganda is a very good strategy right now. It's an easy gateway for normies watching it happen in real time, and has a lot of historic implications.
Totally.
Nathan sent $100.
Whoa.
Nick, my wife Nat, and I love you. May our Lord guide you and protect you. We are Catholic Maronite from Australia and want to thank you for all you do for Catholics. May Saint Charbel bless you and protect you from these demons.
Hey, well, thank you very much. And God bless you and your wife. I appreciate the big super chat. You're Nathan and Nat? You have the same name? How does that work? But hey, thank you very much. God bless you. I really appreciate it. I appreciate the prayers and the generous super chat. I love you and your wife. I love you guys. We all have the same name. Nick, Nat, Nate. Ugh. Whoops. Dropped my mouse. So thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Joey Batts sent $3. Andrew, you're Jewish, Klavan.
Yeah, that guy's obsessed with me. He's such a sick piece of shit, Andrew Klavan. And he's such a... this guy's such a pussy. Like, he's been talking trash about me for years, and then just refuses to engage. He's just got the superiority complex. These Jews, they think they're better than everybody. And you know what? Andrew Klavan is not impressive at all. He's like the least successful member of the Daily Wire troupe. He's been doing it for longer than any of them, and he's the least successful. So, and his son is gay. So he's got to say, oh, you know, I'm this, the Jews are the best, and oh, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, well, you got a gay son, and you're the least successful one at Daily Wire. So fuck you. And he won't even, he's going to do these drive-bys every year. Oh, Dick Fuentes is an ilk. They're just disgusting. It's like, shut the fuck up. Frickin' pagan. I hate that guy. He's just such a smug, smarmy, arrogant trash. That's the thing. That's one of the reasons people don't like Jews, is they're arrogant. They think they're better than everybody. And, you know, and it's so ironic. He says, oh, you know, Nick Fuentes is a vile hater. And then the way he talks about me, he says, oh, I got to scrape him off my shoe. He's a moron. These people are sick, but whatever. Yeah, I really don't like that guy. I'll debate him anytime, anywhere. He won't do it, though. He just prefers to take snipes at me. That's what they do.
Will sent $3. 1/7, hey Nick, I've been working on a pitch for Cozy Sports, but it's long. I work in coal mines, so I ain't got a dollar. I'll have to fill you in on the pitch next week when I get my paycheck.
That's really funny.
Adler sent $3. What are you drinking tonight? I just turned 21, haven't had alcohol except when I visit Europe. Also, Shapiro has really showed his true colors recently. I do not like that pathetic little Jew man.
Hey, happy birthday. It's just Perrier, it says it on the can, but happy birthday, buddy.
Natsuk Greekoid sent $3. If you want to imagine if something is based or not, just imagine Hitler doing it and see if you're repulsed. The idea of Hitler getting in his knee for a woman makes me cringe and lose respect for him.
You know what? You're absolutely right.
Farid Lukovic sent $20. Can someone make an X Sigma edit? He needs to be added to the roster of literally me characters. The cultural impact will be huge.
We just need more footage. We need, like, movie-quality footage of me. That's the next mission.
Senator Tim Scott sent $3. Speaking of weddings, I have to give the best man speech soon for a close childhood friend and I'm nervous AF. Any tips to be a great speaker like yourself? I know you were best man once.
Ugh. Dude, best man speeches are so cringe. They're so cringe. Do not do that thing where you do like these, you know, I'm gonna roast the groom. Don't do that. So cheap, so suck ass. Do not do that. That's like the new thing where now the best man is like, I'm gonna roast the groom. How did he get a beautiful girl like this to fall in love with him? When we were kids, he was always such an asshole. You know, like, don't do that. I hate that. Keep it short and sweet. Nobody wants to hear it. Maybe you're asking the wrong person. I'm like Larry David. Keep it short and sweet. Nobody wants to hear that. Just to be a little contrary to the what's in style these days. Make it earnest. Make it sweet. You know. Do not make any jokes like that. I hate jokes like that. You know, just make it nice. Just make it nice and sincere. You can throw in like one joke, but don't make it like at the expense of the groom. I think that stuff sucks. Make a joke that doesn't attack either of them, you know? And, but keep it, most importantly, keep it short. Public speaking tips. Just try to get comfortable, you know? That's the biggest thing, is just get comfortable up there. It's all psychological. It's all mental. What happens is people get up there, they feel self-conscious, they get nervous, and then they do terrible, you know? They rush, or they're slow, or they sway back and forth. Their pacing is off. Their delivery's bad. But that all comes from nervousness. Almost all the, because everyone can talk. Everyone can talk. We do it every day. You know, in a way, when you order at Starbucks, it's like a form of public speaking. We all do it. But it's just lower stakes. So you just got to get comfortable and then you can talk. And just make it, I mean, for me, I just do it very conversationally, you know. So you just got to say it like I'd say it, like you're telling a story to a friend. And just be mindful. Be mindful that you don't sway. That's the biggest thing, is a lot of people pace, you know, they sway and, you know, they shift their weight from one foot to the other, or they there's some sort of motion going on that's unintentional like that. They repeat words or use filler words. So don't do that. Watch your speed, you know, don't go too fast. You're probably going too fast no matter what, so just keep in mind to slow it down. And, enunciate. Make sure you enunciate your words. It doesn't come naturally to most people, but you have to speak like, enunciate the syllables in every word. What else? You got to know what you're going to say. You got to prepare. You know, practice it beforehand.
Go through mentally what you're going to say. Say it out loud a few times. And you don't have to have a script. Don't have a script, but have bullet points. Know where you're going to go with it. And what's important is to figure out how you're going to start, how you're going to finish. That's the biggest thing. How does it start? How do you bring it in for a landing? Those are the two parts you should maybe have memorized. If you're going to memorize anything, memorize how you're going to finish. And if you have bullet points, know how you're going to transition from one to the other, because otherwise it gets clunky. If you don't know how you're going to transition, people write bullet points, but they don't know how to get from point A to point B. You got to come up with some like thematic way, and even just think of specific words, how you're going to transition from one point to the next. So you should figure out how it's going to flow together. What are the main ideas? How do you get from one to the next? How do you bring it in for a landing? And that helps with confidence. It's easier to be confident if you know what you're going to do. If you know what you're going to do up there. If you know what you're going to say, if you know how you're going to get from one part to the next, you know how you're going to finish, it's easier to be confident. If you practiced and rehearsed it, it's familiar. That's easier to be confident, and then the delivery gets better. So that's my advice, okay? Visualize it too. Visualize it. You have to visualize yourself being there. Close your eyes and imagine. Imagine the venue. Imagine yourself at the table. Imagine, you know, what it's going to be like. Some people have difficulty with this, but it's important to do that. Ugh. Yeah, that's my advice. Okay. But I think it's cringe.
Bob Vitale sent $50. The veil of control is collapsing. Truth will always prevail over lies. You and Keith Woods have done more to bring attention to the issues facing the white Christian world more than anyone else in our time since the painter and in America since Pat Buchanan.
Painter.
Jewish power is expiring. As Catholics, we will do it gracefully.
True. We will do it gracefully. You know, because we don't want harm to come to anybody. We just want a moral and independent nation. You know, it's really that simple. So, but you're right. Thank you for the super chat.
Black Groiper sent $3. Wife needs to die in the first 10 years of the marriage because I can't deal with that.
Yeah, for real. I mean, I can't imagine these guys that hang on for like 90 years. It's like, bro, you're hitting that? No, I'm kidding. Kidding, that's terrible. I hope she lives forever.
Ari sent $10. All the people telling you that you need to have sex are forgetting that you're in a unique slash precarious position where any girl that you do it with is sure to be bribed by your enemies into a fake rape allegation.
True.
You really don't even have the option.
Well, that's, I mean, that's a concern, but it's not like I don't have the option.
Conservative e-boy sent $3. When is the Dr. David Duke collab?
Probably not going to do that.
Nitro Respector sent $3. We're all gonna have to call you fake Acel when you get hitched.
Dude, shut up.
Xi Jinping sent $3. Nixon got screwed over by the Jews.
True.
Ari sent $3. You don't even have the option to do anything that can even be remotely construed as gay, like a silly little dance in the car while you're driving. It'll be used against you to smear you as a fag.
Actually, you can do whatever you want and just not care what people say. Oh, no, you can't do anything. People will call you gay. It's like, you or do whatever you want and be yourself. And, you know, people can say whatever they're going to say.
Slot sent $3. 1/6. Hi.
Hi.
Black underscore hops sent $20. Jews fundamentally terraformed Christian America to make it safe for them to live here and compatible with their alien inclinations and interests.
Whoa, really?
Evariste Galois sent $3. How do nuclear weapons affect the prospects of a World War III? Keith thinks they prevent it completely.
It's a dumb question. They don't. Does Keith really believe that? They don't. They obviously don't prevent. They obviously don't. You know, that goes back to Kenneth Waltz, who is a neo-realist international relations thinker, and he said that there should be nuclear proliferation because it eliminates war. If everyone has nukes, then there will be no interstate conflict. But that's just obviously flawed. I mean, Yeah, that's true in theory, but the problem is that miscalculations occur. And miscalculations arise from an imperfect understanding of mutually assured destruction, as well as these asymmetries even in the size of the arsenal or technology or the yield of a bomb that is used. So, for example, you know, maybe Israel uses a tactical nuke. They use a small nuclear warhead, not a big one. And they presume that some other nuclear nation won't respond. Like, that could happen. There's no guarantee that that doesn't happen. Or like in Russia, let's say Russia is facing extinction. It's facing a defeat. Let's say they do the same thing. Let's say they deploy a tactical nuke and they think the United States won't nuke them in return, but they might. Then you have the issue of the anti-ballistic missile shield. You know, what if in the future one coalition has confidence in an anti-ballistic missile system and they think that they can nuke another country with impunity? They think that mutually assured destruction doesn't apply. What if a country thinks that a hypersonic missile will destroy all the other country's nuclear arsenal or its government before they can retaliate? You know, these are just like these are types of things that can happen. These are categories of problems that can arise where a war could go nuclear. So, you know, it can happen. There could be a limited war between the United States and China. It's just that if one side was existentially threatened, they might use nukes. They could do a nuclear war. So, no, I disagree. I think it makes it unlikely, but because it's unthinkable. But we've only had nuclear weapons for, there's only been nuclear weapons for 70 years or 80 years, and two nations having nuclear weapons, it's been the case for 4 years less than that. So, you know, don't be so sure. We've come close. Nuclear weapons have been around for 80 years, and we've come close to nuclear war on many occasions, like Cuban Missile Crisis, Abel Archer 83, like someone said earlier, the Yom Kippur War in 73. Right now. So, don't be so sure. North Korea doing their business all the time. Like, no, not the case.
Adler sent $3. Nick already got his Halloween scare from Googling Tuscan seeing the man walrus. Watch it, Nick. It's good. It's like human centipede, but walrus. I was too scared to watch for years.
Not gonna do that.
John Sneedington sent $3. Hey Nick, what do you think about that Dutch chick, Eva Vlaardinterbroek? Kinda seems like a Fed to me.
I don't really know anything about her, so I don't really have an opinion. But wasn't she supposed to marry one of these guys? Wasn't she marrying, who was it that she was going to marry? I forget, was it Gavin Wax? Or who am I thinking of? She was going to marry some dude from the scene, but they called it off. Who was that? Does anybody remember? It was, I think it's on our Wikipedia. Let me look it up. She was engaged to, oh no, it was Will Witt, right? Yeah, Will Witt, but they called it off. Yeah, so she's been around a little bit. She's been around a little bit. Uh-huh. You know how I feel about that. No e-girls.
Nitro Respector sent $3. Hummus and feta.
Nice.
Patriot Playground sent $5. Hey Nick. Just started watching your show a few days ago, but your existence was apparent to me from other sources. You're giving me a valuable alternate view on world issues. Appreciate you. God bless.
Thank you.
Joey Bats sent $3. You probably don't even hear it when it happens, right?
Excuse me.
Love the Sopranos ending.
Yep. Great stuff.
Schizo Pattern Enjoyer sent $10. The public kneeling proposal started in the Renaissance when courtship became a thing. Supposedly, it meant your love for her would become part of your love of God, but that was also when writing poetry to impress her became a thing, so who knows?
Yeah, I don't know if I buy that.
Polish underscore male sent $3. Surreal seeing self-proclaimed libertarians defend Gaza genocide, the mask is off.
Yep.
Natsuk Greekoid sent $3. Hey, I'm an incel, I haven't even kissed a woman like you, frickin' fake incel. But yeah, 100% I just thought of it, I still hate women.
Uh-huh, yeah, sounds like it.
Bastrisk sent $10. Love you, King.
Love you too, buddy. I appreciate it.
Ari sent $3. What was your favorite form of speech and debate in high school?
I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Farid Lukovic sent $20. Showing your forearms. 99 Iranian lashes incoming.
I get it. That's funny. Okay, that's a very mechanical joke. Okay, Milk Tea Groiper on Cozy says good night. Good night. Okay, that's going to do it for me. As always, remember to follow me here on Cozy to get a push notification whenever I go live. Follow me on Rumble. Also, follow me on Telegram. Link is down below. I'm on the air Monday through Friday at night. As always, thanks to our super chatters. Special thanks to Nathan, thanks Nick, and Dirty Dingo. And did I miss anybody? I think that's everybody, right? Yes. So special thanks to them. Thanks to all our super chatters, everybody that watches the show. I love you, and I'll see you on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend. Have a great rest of your evening.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo. It's going to be only America first. America first. The American people will come first once again. America.